Welcome back to NHL Draft Class. Adam Kimmelman here. Mike Morial. Mike, we went from the low of seeing the World Juniors getting canceled to now we have the NHL Central Scouting midterm rankings coming out today. We have an outstanding guest to talk about them.
Yep. Hello again, Adam. Glad to be with you back for another edition of NHL Draft Class. And yeah, we got a lot to discuss and get to today. Joining us on the show in a few minutes will be Dan Maher, the director of NHL Central Scouting, to discuss the January 12th release of Central's midterm ranks of North American and international skaters and goalies. The midterm rankings reveal, right, Adam, is always interesting as it kind of provides a roadmap for NHL member clubs and their scouting teams to check out some players who maybe weren't identified or were maybe ranked lower on their lists. It could also confirm that maybe, you know, they need to see a particular player a few more times before making a determination. And the midterm rankings also gives fans and we media folks an opportunity to guess who might go where to which team at the NHL draft, which of course is currently scheduled for July 7th and 8th at the Bell Center in Montreal. So always an interesting, intriguing time for the midterm ranks and looking forward to it.
Well, let's not waste time. Really don't want to hear what we have to say about it, as smart as we might be. Let's bring in Dan Maher, the director of NHL Central Scouting. Dan, thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to spend time with Mike and I today. And, you know, we have the Central Scouting rankings coming out. Can we talk about how the meetings went on? How were you guys able to get together to produce a list of this volume?
Well, good morning, guys. Always a pleasure to be with you. Well, we had a plan this year for the first time in 2 years to have in-person meetings out of our Toronto office. And that got gassed real quick once the Omicron variant started to go through. So we again had a virtual meeting. And one of the differences that we realized was that the CHL games, the Tier 2 games, a lot of the leagues shut down for the Christmas holiday. And then coming back, there were so many postponements and cancellations that we all had time to have a holiday from games. There was a period there of about a week where the guys, just all they did was focus on their own lists, their own rankings, catching up on video reports. So like our guys work hard to be prepared for our meetings, but they were ultra prepared this year. And it ended up being a far more efficient meetings. And we got a lot further into the discussion on players and the ranking of players than we had hoped for. Like we anticipated, we'd run into some roadblocks here and there where we just hit a snag from not having as many views and crossovers and that, but we didn't. So it's given us pause to think, you know, maybe there's a better way to do our meetings by just having a holiday from games beforehand. And this year, after what we've experienced the past year and a half, we didn't want to be behind. So I had talked with Colin Campbell and told him that our plan was to start the season hard. And so we did get crossover. Our scouts were able to get a lot of crossover in so that we do have a good viewings on these players. And we were able to produce the rankings that we did.
That's excellent to hear, Dan. So I don't think it's a surprise that center Shane Wright of Kingston is number one on the North American list. I think the big question, though, is was he a unanimous choice for number one when votes were taken? And what were the common talking points among the scouts on why he should be at the top?
Well, most years you have a top prospect going into the season or a top two. And Shane definitely was the number one. But amongst our entire group, you know, he wasn't number one with everybody. And that initiated the conversation because it was everybody had the same number one and number two. And of course, we're talking about Logan Cooley. But the thing with Shane is that as an underage, he's always played at a higher level, always played at a higher level against his peers. Like you go back to the U18 last year, like him and Cooley were head to head as underage at the U18 championships there. And they both played well. For me, Shane, and for our group, They like the fact that he can be a difference maker in so many ways. The way he processes the game and sees the ice, he can execute plays at top speed. He's got a quick acceleration where he can go outside, cut inside, get to the net. And it's just a quickness that can't be matched or defended against. And the ability to process the game at that top speed, to have the skills to execute, there, you know, these are all the qualities you want in a top prospect. And the thing that we found with Shane, we can even go back as an underage with Kingston, he played in the U-17 World Challenge. When he came back with more confidence, but he actually ended up being a difference maker with Kingston in the sense that he just made everyone else around him better. And that's a sign of a true, true top prospect there. When you can go and you can make others around you better, you can make the team better just by your example and by your contributions with your skills and assets.
You know, one of the things that has intrigued everyone about this draft, I think everyone knew that Shane was going to be that top guy. Who's going to be in that second tier, if there was a second tier, or was someone going to battle with Wright to maybe earn that top spot? And, you know, based on the rankings and your response there, it seems as though Logan Cooley of the USA National Development Program could be in that mix. How much has he kind of tightened the gap here, Dan?
Well, just to be respectful, and there's 32 clubs and 32 different opinions there. You know, if we're down to, like, you know, we're going into the second half here where this is a two-player race for the number one spot. And Logan Cooley, in his own right, has many similar qualities. Just the speed to which he brings to a game. I recently saw the U-18 play NCAA against Wisconsin, and the entire team has speed and quickness, and they just attack using their skills and assets. They're a very well-coached team. They couldn't physically try and outwork Wisconsin or play man-to-man on them, but they just utilized their speed, and it was just difficult for Wisconsin to defend against that speed. And Logan Cooley, he leads that charge. I describe Shane Wright as a difference maker. I would describe Logan Cooley as being an impact player. And they're both going to impact with their NHL clubs. They're both going to have, you know, solid careers just because of their skills and assets. A lot of it revolves around the speed. But Logan Cooley, in his own right, like, he takes the puck to the net. He's the one that goes to the dirty areas, pays the price. He's got the skills to bury his chances. And, you know, he's every bit of deserving to be in that conversation for the number one pick overall.
Dan, I want to shift gears to the defenseman position. And David Jiříšek, the defenseman from Plzeň in the Czech Extraliga, he's number four on the European list, the top-rated defenseman. Just wondering if you had any update on the injury he sustained at the World Juniors. And when he's healthy, what stands out about him and makes him, you know, one of the best defensemen in this draft class?
Well, it was unfortunate in the game when you watched it. It didn't look like it was a violent collision or interaction or anything, but with these big guys and at the speed and force that they move, it was a serious injury where, you know, surgery was required, and he's expected to miss the next 2 to 3 months. So the good part is he played pro last year. He was well-seen player, well-viewed player. This year he was continuing to display play the same game that he was projected for the draft. But he's one of these two-way transitional defensemen. He's got the hockey sense to play the game with or without the puck, but when he gets the puck, he transitions quickly to be where he becomes an offensive contributor. Everything he does with the puck is with authority, passing, and his shooting. He's got a big body, and he competes. He has a physical presence, but it's like he plays within the rules of the game there. He's not out to put guys through the boards or anything, but one-on-one strength, one-on-one battles, this is where he stands out. you know, the old saying where sometimes it takes a little longer for the bigger guys to develop. And I think the only aspect where that might apply to him would be with his skating, but that's anticipated that it's just going to continue to improve. And when he gets to the next level there, he should be fine. And, you know, as long as the teams get the reports that his knee, everything is 100% and there's nothing to indicate that he won't be, I don't know that the injury is going to be much of a setback for him, other than you want him to come back. And we'd like to see him play near the end of the year and get some good games in there.
Well, that's good news that it's not considered a serious injury. One other defenseman I want to ask you about that really intrigued me just in the little bit of a video I've been able to watch on him is Maverick Lamoureux from Drummondville in the Q. 6'7" right shot D. And just to let you know how rare defensemen of that size are, there's only two in the NHL since the 2005-06 season, Tyler Myers and Andre Schuster. With Lamoureux, when I've watched him, there's a calmness and a poise to his game that really stands out. What did your group like about Maverick and that he's at number 15 on the North American list?
Well, he's an 04 birth date. And one of the things when I went to Drummondville, we have a new regional scout in the area, and Pascal Pelletier. And he says, Dan, he says, I know it's my first year. He says, but I've seen this guy a number of times now. And he says, you know, I think we have to move him to an A. And it didn't take long. Like you mentioned, when you watch the game, you have a guy with size who moves so fluidly, transitions so efficiently. And there is a calmness about his game. Even under pressure in his own zone, where, you know, a lot of times younger defensemen have an issue under pressure, they rush their decisions and that. He maintained that composure on the play. And he's just got a heads-up, smart game at the offensive blue line, moving the puck around. He's got a heads-up game skating and advancing the puck out of his zone. The one thing, like, he has just kind of come out of the blue because, you know, this is someone that typically you'd have seen in the summertime at some of the Hockey Canada U18 events, and, like, where he would stand out and pop, and like he didn't pop there, but then when you went and saw him play in the Quebec League, he popped. And you know, this is what you like to see when you go to a game, someone that stands out to you. So the fact that he's got that physical element to him, and he does like to play with a bit of a physical presence, he's quite an appealing prospect. And for someone who started the year as being maybe a second, third round candidate there, he's really made headway to come up to be in the first half of our first round.
So Dan, as luck, I don't know what you want to call it, luck or coincidence or what, but you know, we see what Jack Hughes is doing for the New Jersey Devils, and we could have another exceptionally talented Jack Hughes going in the 22 draft in relatively short order. First round projection, he's number 7, was formerly from the NTTP, is now you know, playing for Northeastern and having quite a season for himself. So Jack Hughes, number 7 on the midterm list. We got another Jack here. You know, tell us a little bit about Jack and what he's been able to do this season.
Well, the first thing is there's no relation to the Hughes clan that's currently in the NHL or on their way to the NHL. But I can tell you, I remember we were scouting St. Sebastian's School in the New England prep. And this was like in the 18-19 season. And there was this underage sophomore out there, Jack Hughes. So he's someone that, you know, you notice him when you're at a game. He makes you notice him. And so, like, he's been on our radar since the 18-19 season. Then he's gone on and played with the program in Michigan, and he's continued his successful ways there. He's one of those players that always contributes. He always produces. there's no holes to his game, but likewise, you can't say that he's elite in any one area. He's just a very good hockey player in all aspects of the game, where he can go out, impact, get the job done. When you need a scoring chance created, he's the guy you can turn to. When you have to protect a lead near the end of the game, he can go out and get that job done. But again, he's another one of these players whose hockey instincts are just so natural to him that he's got that calmness and that composure to his game where like he's gone in as a freshman. Northeastern, they've really turned that program around. And he's already a go-to guy as a freshman in that league. So everywhere Jack Hughes has gone, he's just gone out, laced up the skates, and went out and gets the job done. Where that projects in an NHL lineup, it's going to be depending on who drafts him and where he's at. But this is a player that's going to play in the National Hockey League for a long time, and he's going to contribute with whatever club he's with.
Dan, I just want to shift back to the European list for another second here. Joachim Kamel, he's number one on the European list from JYP and Liga. I know he had a great start. He had an injury issue. Only two games in the World Juniors before that tournament ended. What did your group see from him that's put him ahead of the rest of the pack on the international list?
Well, just the way that his season started, he forced you to take notice of him. And when you have a player at that age, that size, that can go in and in, you know, one of the better leagues in Europe, contribute with the team, you do contribute with his team, you do have to take notice. And again, he's got the excellent speed and acceleration, quickness to his game. He's one of those skilled playmakers who sees the ice really well, can control the play. He's poised to take a look, set up the play, dish the puck off, get to the net. Down low, he's very elusive. It's hard to get the puck off him in the offensive zone. And the one thing that we know with these European players who get the chance to play with the big leagues, they are taught responsibility without the puck. So, you know, he does understand that, you know, it's a two-way game, offensive, defensive, and you have to play good with the puck, good without the puck. And you could see where he really took that to heart. So just the fact that he brought a work ethic to the game and he competed with his high-end skating and skills, he just stood out. And he's very deserving there. If he'd have kind of stayed healthy there, you know, we could be talking about a three-player race for the number one pick overall. And, like, it's going to be very intriguing to see how he does in the second half here.
Brad Lambert has been under close scrutiny after a slow start in Liga with JYP, Dan, but he is number five on the international list. I know it was just two preliminary round games, but I would guess he did impress most scouts with his play at the World Juniors. Is Lambert a firm top 15 pick in your mind at this point?
Yeah, Lambert is one of those players because he was pegged early as an underage 2 years ago for this draft class. You know, sometimes the expectations run amok. And, you know, when you go and watch a player play and you don't get an all-star performance out of them, every game you tend to wonder if the projection was too high or not. But I can tell you the majority of scouts, this background noise on players leading up to their draft year doesn't really take away from what they see in a player's projection. And, you know, similar to what Shane Wright has been through, Lambert's in the same place where there's been a lot of disruptions and distractions, whether it's injuries and lockdowns and shutdowns. And he's persevered through it all. He's a very smart player. He can play the game at speed, get things done. And you both know me well enough to know that I dislike doing comparisons. But just in this instance, Lambert is a solid NHL prospect. And like a player in the National Hockey League that I always find underrated is a guy in Anaheim, like Rickard Rakell. And Lambert is that type of a player for me. He's going to be able to come in. He's going to be able to contribute. Some years might be more offensive contributions, higher numbers there, but he's got all the skills and abilities to be a solid NHL player. And, you know, Ricard's been in the league almost 10 years now. And this is, I just see that type of career laid out for Brad Lambert. Anywhere that he goes in the first round, the team's going to be quite happy with him.
So, Dan, looking at the goaltender position, we had two in the first round last year. We've seen one go in the first round for three straight years. Obviously, a lot can change between now and July, but is there a goalie who rises to, in your mind, first round level for 2022? Or is this more, you know, there's just a solid group, but nobody's jumping off the page like Sebastian Kasa or Jesper Wallstedt did last season?
Yeah, Adam, it's one of those years where it's just going to take some time for these prospects to develop. So I don't know that there's anyone in the mix that a team would be considering using a first round pick. As you know, if teams can collect where they have a couple of first round picks, they might, you know, step up for a goalie. It's just not that type of a year. There's four or five goalies at the top end that are all playing well. They're doing their job consistently, but none rise to the occasion. You know, we only have a couple goalies that we even consider B prospects, and it's the same in Europe. Normally or traditionally, you know, the goalies that have gone first in the last couple of years, there's been a long runway up to the draft year where you've seen them play and had a lot of exposure to them. So there just isn't anybody in that category at this time. Maybe somebody will pop in the second half. You know, Dylan Silverstein's making a good name for himself with his consistent play with the U18s. And, you know, we've got Tyler Brennan, our number one guy from Prince George, and Zigalov, the Belarusian goalie who came over and is playing very, very well with Sherbrooke in the Quebec League. But right now, none rise to that occasion where we're considering a first-round projection.
Great stuff there, Dan. So last but certainly not least, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about a good friend, one of the hardest-working people we know, Jack Guerin, the senior director of NHL IT, who announced his retirement. He's been so influential in the creation and maintenance of Central Scouting System and its inner workings. What more can you tell us about Jack and the work he's provided for so many years?
Well, Jack, I've been with NHL Central Scouting. It's been 10 years. And Jack has been instrumental over that time with me and before me with E.J. McGuire in just the construction and development of our website, which all NHL club personnel have access to. And Jack is a true fan of the game. We know he bleeds Islander blue. And so IT, there's a lot of monotonous work that has to be done when you're programming and working on systems there. But he's one of because he loves the game so much, he just truly enjoys being with the scouts. He comes to our meetings to make sure everything goes well. He's become one of the group, you know, and he's a beloved colleague. And he, like anyone there, Jack's a little, he has a loud personality. And one of the ways he displays that is whenever we have our meetings, and we've had our meetings in Florida a couple times, and he can't wait to bring out his flowered shirts in Hawaiian shirts. And as a fitting going away gift for him, I was in Memphis, went to Graceland, and Elvis Presley has the flowered pattern shirt collection as well. So we got Jack a nice flowered shirt from Graceland, from one legend to another legend, because
nice.
In our mind.
Jack is the king.
He will be missed. I thought I had an agreement with him that he wouldn't retire until after I retired. But he reneged on that, and I'm not happy with him over that because he will be missed.
He's always ahead of the game. Jack's always ahead of the game. Yep.
And as long as you've got bacon in the breakfast room, he's a happy man.
Oh, Jack is the best. And it's fitting that he's going to wear an Elvis shirt because he is the king. Well, thank you, Dan, for giving us a few minutes of your very valuable time to talk about the midterm rankings. And thank you for coming on NHL Draft Class today.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
One of the things that Dan said that really stood out to me was the fact that if Joakim Kemell had been healthy all season, we'd be talking about three guys for that number one spot instead of just Shane Wright and Logan Cooley. That's pretty high praise for a guy. You know, I like Kemell, watched him, some video on him. You know, I know he had the injury issue that caused him to miss some time, but, you know, I like the shot. You know, just watching him on video, you can see he can beat goalies from a distance with the slap shot, with the wrist shot. He's in constant motion in the offensive zone. Really good skater. You know, he can protect the puck for a guy who really doesn't have that dominant size. He's listed at 5'11", 171. He really does a nice job, at least when I watched him, protecting the puck, using his body to shield the defenseman. He can handle the physical play, and that's saying something against, you know, playing in Liga against older, more developed physical, you know, men instead as a 17-year-old. He stands out against older competition, and I know maybe we didn't see the standout play at the World Juniors in the two games that he played, but, you know, if you can stand out in Liga and score the way he scored, to me, that bodes really well for what you're going to be able to do when you get to the NHL.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, Goran Stube, the director of European scouting, said the same thing, Adam. You know, he had a great start to the season at the Hlinka Gretzky, started on fire for JYP in Liga. And that's the reason why right now at the midterm, that's what Goran told us, that he's number one because of that fantastic start. Now, look, he sustained that injury, that upper body injury. It was unfortunate. He missed some time there, you know, missed a few games, went to World Juniors, probably was still feeling the effects, right, of the injury. Maybe wasn't himself, wasn't playing up to top notch. But now, over the second half, he has a chance to really, you know, put himself and you know, to really show the scouts, show fans that he does deserve that number one ranking on the international list. And I think it was a good job, fantastic job by Central to have him number one, since he did start the season, you know, so well. But one of the things, Adam, that really kind of surprised me, I guess, a little bit, somewhat, when looking at the North American ranks, was the placement of Saginaw defenseman Pavel Minchikov. He was at number five on the North American ranks, 6'1", 192, born in Moscow, Russia, left-handed shot. He scored 22 points this season in 29 games for Saginaw. So he's had a great start to the season. Obviously, he's been on a lot of, you know, scouts' radar. But the fact that Dan Moore told me in a story that's going to run or is running now on NHL.com on the midterm ranks and kind of, you know, where all these players stand and some comments from a lot of the Central Scouting evaluators, Dan told me that he thinks Minchikov is, in his eyes, the best defenseman available in this draft. And of course, we know that this draft includes two other high-rated, you know, defenders on the international list, and David Jiříček and Simon Nemec. You know, those two players, Nemec and Jiříček, who were part of the World Junior team for their respective countries, and we know that David did get hurt there. But for the most part, you know, that says a lot when Dan Moore is telling us that, you know, he plays a real dynamic game. This is Minchikov plays a dynamic game, utilizing that size of his, the skating, the smarts he has, the skills to control, you know, play in all the zones and in all situations. And he plays with confidence, has that composure about him. And he plays that type of game that shows poise and shows that he wants to be a leader out there along the blue line, executes plays, you know, in tight situations and intense moments. So that's something that, you know, obviously a lot of scouts and general managers would love to have as part of their team. So Minchikov is a player I think I'm going to be watching from here on forward, because it wasn't a name that really came up early on for me in the early stages of this season. But now that Central has him number five, he's going to be a player that I'm going to be watching closely for sure.
Yeah, the little bits of Menchikov I was able to watch on video, it really stands out, the skating. The dynamic offensive elements to his game, it starts with his skating, and he's not afraid to jump into the play. He's not afraid to get into the offensive zone. However, the coaches also rely on him to play PK 4-on-5 and 3-on-5. So, you know, there's a lot of trust that he's earned from the coaching staff, which definitely says something as an 18-year-old import. You know, maybe English isn't his strongest language, but he's able to communicate well enough with his teammates, with the coaches, that he's earned that ice time and he's earned that responsibility. So, yeah, you know, maybe it was a little bit of a surprise to see him at number five and number one among defensemen on the North American list. But yeah, he definitely seems like a guy on the rise. And as you said, he certainly got a big fan in Dan Maher. And I'm sure there's other NHL scouts out there that are keeping a close eye on Menchikov. But one other thing that popped out to me on the North American list, I know it certainly jumped out to you, 9 guys from the National Team Development Program in the top 32.
You know, you think back to that 2019 draft, right, Adam? You know, the Jack Hughes draft and, you know, Trevor Zegras and all these great players going. 8 selections made off of that NTTP club in the first round, which was a record at that time. And now there are
7 in the top 15.
7 in the top 15, right. 7 in the top 15, 8 overall, a record for a number of players selected in the first round from the NTTP. Is there a chance here, knowing that we have 9, you know, A-rated first round projected NTTP players on the on Central Scouting's ranks here? Is there a chance that, you know, this draft class can, you know, equal or best that total? That's going to be interesting to see. But there are a lot of good players, including one, Adam, who we discussed with you know, with Dan Maher, Logan Cooley, the 5'10", 174-pound left-shot center, is doing it all for the NTTP, leads them in points per game, obviously was going to play a big role for the United States at the World Juniors before that cancellation, that unfortunate cancellation there. But, you know, Logan Cooley, as Dan said, is an elite skater, a good player, a 200-foot guy. You know, he's on everyone's radar entering the second half of this season prior to the draft. And he's leading the way for the NTTP on that list of 9 players among these first round projected players. And in addition to that, Logan Cooley will be part of the All-American game, right, Adam? That's going to be played on January 17th at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, Michigan. So we're all looking forward to the All-American game, where some of the top prospects from the United States Hockey League, the NTTP, and some high school players as well, you know, will get to strut their stuff and show scouts what they can do.
Well, that'll be fun. But there's one thing I want to correct you on, Mike. This also is the Jack Hughes draft. It's not just 2019. This also is the Jack Hughes draft.
That's right.
And I am a little bit just for rooting for chaos. I do hope the New Jersey Devils somehow figure out a way to select him. And just, it'll be like that scene in Die Hard when the FBI agents are in the helicopter and they're on the phone. It's Agent Smith or whatever his name is. No, the other one. So that'll be, I imagine, just a little bit being like that. Because, you know, you root for chaos sometimes. And having 2 Jack Hughes on the Devils plus a Luke Hughes.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
Yeah,
that could be fun
with Jack Hughes. I would imagine they would have to put J period, middle initial period Hughes. And then, of course, with Luke, you got L period Hughes. Holy smokes. I'm going to have a lot to look forward to if that happens.
Well, good luck for you. Well, you know what?
A lot of coffee.
You'll do that anyway, but I'll root for coffee and ice cream, Mike. It'll get you through. It's gotten you this far in life. Coffee and ice cream.
It has.
All right. Well, that's going to do it now for this week's edition of NHL Draft Class. Thank you for listening. Thanks again to Dan Maher for joining us. Mike, it's just another step in the road as we head towards Montreal.
Yep. We're really looking forward to it, Adam. Looking forward to this stretch here. We got the second half of the season to an opportunity for us to watch these players. And then, of course, the final ranks that'll come out later in the season prior to the draft. We'll look forward to that as well. Hey, listen to the show, you know, leave us a review on Apple and Spotify, some comments there, and we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Or you can follow us on Twitter. I am at NHL Adam K. Mike is at Mike Morial NHL. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.